Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Soap Dish Salem Style. I am your host, Tony Ann, and joining me this week, I've got Michael and Ariette. Say hello, guys.
Hi.
Hello, also known as Hickey Lord Carpenter.
You modeling your name after a character on One Life to Live that you formerly hated brings me so much joy.
I despise. Ugh.
But not anymore, since you're naming
Not
yourself
that
after
that's
her.
not the point. No. I was on the spot. I didn't have time to think of a name. It was the first thing that popped up.
And it was the first name that popped up because you don't hate her anymore, and I love that for me.
Anyway, forget Sleazak.
Anyway, we actually have a bunch of news this week. It was been a quiet couple weeks, but they decided in the last couple days to hit us with some interesting things. So
It's
let's
good news.
indeed,
It could be terrible.
let us jump into our news. And the first thing on the list is we are officially in strike material, as the other soaps are beginning to come out of strike material. Days is now officially in strike
And it's
material.
going to be a long 70 years, y'all, because y'all know it takes forever for us to get through stuff that happened 3 months ago.
Yeah, like we're not going to be out of strike material until probably May.
Yeah, it's going to be September, spring, summer, like She by Sheree before we get out of this. I'm not looking forward to this because from what we've hearing, and you've heard it here last, because I'm sure everyone else has said this shit before. Sorry for the hiatus, folks. This shit, the strike, is going to halt all storylines. Everything is going to be on pause, like Dorinda Medley.
And it's gonna be even worse because Days has multiple transitions within the strike. Because when the strike started, it was Albert Alar heading up the strike team. And then everything happened with Alar and he left, so then it was Janet and the strike team.
The
And then we're gonna
constant cash changes.
exactly, and then we're gonna transition into Janet and Ron, who have never worked together. With Janet in the head boss role, so to speak. So it's going to be a very bumpy few months as Days makes a lot of transitions.
Oh, goodness gracious. With
But
that said,
I will say, and I think Ari, you and I were headed in the same place. This first week did not completely suck. Story-wise, it's a little meh, but the actual content of the scripts and the dialogue, to me, felt better.
Yes. See,
Okay, so
like,
I'm
listen, before you go on, Michael. The thing is, the strike writers cannot perform miracles. The story is
fair.
still they still stink. That's just a fact. The stories suck. Like, they can't change them. But like, for me, who just like basically watches Days on two times fast forward, there was a few episodes I was like, you know what? The dialogue is making it semi-watchable. Like, maybe not the dialogue per se, but like, it's giving a bit more. I'm feeling a bit more depth from some characters. Like, they're throwing in
history references that make
history,
sense.
and there was an episode with Leo and Dimitri. Yes, we don't care about the ship, however, they we don't, but they
Damn, you just don't care today, do you?
she hasn't cared for a while. Hello, where
Oh
have you been? Have you been sleeping at the job?
man, yeah, but today you just don't give a damn. It's like you're finna put in your 2 weeks. You got something to say?
Well, hold my beer because I have a lot. No, but what I'm saying is I'm seeing more humanity in some characters, like Leo. If y'all paid attention to the episode airing on like
I can
two.
tell you right now, I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah,
Definitely on Friday, I saw the humanity. Like his dialogue wasn't as sticky. Exactly.
okay. Friday, Wednesday's episode was piss poor. I can't even hold you. I
Yeah,
didn't
they
even
were
finish it.
like it wasn't consistent, but it was still like it still was better than what we've seen the last few months. I feel like there's some sprinkles of like history and depth for some characters that's just making it watchable, not enjoyable, but watchable. And it surprised me because I was like, okay, this is gonna be bad regardless, but I'm genuinely shocked. Like, for instance, the scene with Stefan and Ava. Sure, we hate the storyline, but did y'all pay attention to how different Stefan was in that scene?
Yeah, it felt more like Stefan, which kind of tracks for me. We'll talk about that more specifically as we discuss the actual air show, but just generally, it felt like they better understood who Stefan was as a character, which makes me think that because it was rumored that Sherry Anderson is who was on staff during the strike, and she was on staff when Ron started. So she may have had a lot to do with the original creation of Stefan D'Amero, which is why
So we're
now
finna get
that
a staff in science.
so it would seem he's at least more enjoyable than he's been.
So okay, quick question. And this is just me throwing spaghetti at the wall because you brought this up. Do you think we're going to get a recast Gabby during this strike?
Yes.
Or were they not doing that during strike?
Well,
Like bringing characters in.
recast Gabby is rumored to be already coming, already
Do
cast.
we have a name?
We have a name.
Yes.
Who? Oh my God, is it Teresa Lopez Fitzgerald?
No, thank God Facebook was wrong about that.
Damn,
Hold on, I
damn,
will get the
damn,
name.
damn.
I'm pulling it up right now. Give me one second.
I wanted to be Teresa Lopez Fitzgerald. Can't even hold y'all.
Her name is Sheree Jimenez Ferris.
We don't know her. Let me Google.
Hold on, I will send her picture to our group
Thank
chat
you.
so you can see.
Please
So
hold for technical difficulties.
so she is rumored to be the new Gabby, and by looks, she works. And I don't
Oh,
know
damn.
which.
Ooh. Oh, we finna eat.
And I don't know when she would have started filming, but I'm guessing it's fairly recent, which means
Oh,
it
she
would have
looked like she can act. This is gonna be a serve. I'm here for this.
So it looks like that's something that came about after the strike was resolved, because I don't know how long she's been there. So it feels fairly recent. So a Gabby recast is supposedly, allegedly, we in are in allegedly error because this is not
Ding.
officially, this is
If
not a,
and allegedly, we're gonna find us a sound for this, folks.
we promise, we need to make one because we're in it so often. But this is all rumor and speculation. This is nothing confirmed. All we know is that this particular actress is following Carson Boatman, the show, Camilla, Raven, and Brandon Barash. And Camilla, and I think Camilla Bannis as well. So all roads lead to her looking to be Gabby. And given the way Camilla exited the show and what the status of Gabby's character is currently, it would make sense that they recast because there's a lot of story left to tell there, given how she exited. So.
Bring man justice for Ariana Grace.
But yeah,
There's
we it
story
seems
to tell with everyone involved there. That's what I'm the point I'm
so
trying to
many
make.
beats miss that were missed, like they kind of
Because let's be
like
clear, how does Ariana Grace feel about Stefan? Do we know?
the last like when
She
before.
should actually be
That's
mad
the
at
one who's
Stefan.
supposed to be taken after Sammy.
Like,
Y'all wanted it to be Allie and Sydney so bad. It's supposed to be Ariana Grace.
I feel like Ariana should have been like not Stefan's biggest fan, at least initially,
Yeah, she's supposed to be a hellraiser.
because like remember when Gabby went to jail in 2018, wrongfully again, and when she got out, Ariana was super mad at Gabby for being away from her, and granted she was little, so she didn't know what actually happened.
I would love for that to be a story beat that Ariana is actually kind of cool with Stefan, but then figures out what caused Gabby to go away to prison all those years ago. At
All
this
right,
point, all those years.
guys, we're BSing.
We are. But
Anyway,
if.
back to the first news at hand. The Shrek material is decent so far. Like it feels different. We'll see going forward how it's gonna be.
I'm going to be very interested to see any storylines that they start. Because remember, the strike goes on for 5 months. So there's going to come a point where they have to create their own story because there's not necessarily a roadmap for them to follow. Like all of these stories that are airing currently are stories that are pre-existing. They may take some unintentional turns because the strike writers may have their own idea. But I'm very curious to see what the full, like a full storyline at the start would look like under the strike writers. But going on to our next piece of news, Brian DiTillo returns as Lucas next week. And he's sporting quite the prison ponytail.
Free him. Free Lucas. I'm sick of having to do these drive-by visits in jail. There's
He
more story to tell here. We need more Hortons on screen.
Agreed. And I do think
And
Brian
not
maybe.
Hortons that y'all throw into Kiriakis land for family value there. We need Hortons.
I
Like,
agree.
real deal.
I think we're gonna actually get to see Lucas out of prison at some point. And I do think that this may be a bit of a, if not a longer return, a more like regular return for Lucas. So I'm curious to see what they do with him. I just need that ponytail gone immediately because that was just not pleasing. We'll put it like that.
They need to bring him back to help build Alice's house brick by brick, allegedly, if it burns down.
Oh,
Ding.
it's definitely burning. Like there's not an allegedly there because we literally saw it burning in the Day of
Well,
Days
you
promo.
could have thought that when Marlena burnt down their damn Christmas tree, is what I'm saying. We just seen it on the promo. We haven't seen it burn all the way down. So I'm gonna go
Yeah.
with if and allegedly, so we won't get sued.
Okay. Are you excited to see Lucas back, Aria?
I'm very excited. I like Lucas.
Well, Sammy.
I'm just not sure about the storyline, but
Do you know why?
I know he's going to be involved with Harris, which makes me think it's going to be tied into the Clyde ship, which nobody asked for that, but here we are. But I do know that he's going to have some words for Dimitri when now that Dimitri's in Statesville, which makes sense because Dimitri did, kidnap his mother.
Yeah. But my thing with this is, I'm excited about Lucas' return, but at the same time, I'm not, because there's still a big thread missing in all of this bullshit. And I hate to admit it because it doesn't aid my agenda, but Samantha Jane.
Yeah, not even just in this storyline, but the baby switch.
Yeah.
Yes,
Yeah. She's massively needed, if for nothing else, to kind of like give, like, I want her there when the truth comes out. I don't expect her to like be supportive of Nicole, but I'd be 100% okay with, well, interesting to see how the shoe is on the other foot now, or something like that. Like her commentary with her karmic commentary, I'll call it, would just be
But
needed.
hell, like, just because Lucas went to jail for all he did, and Sammy told them they all can go and dipped, that wasn't an ending to me. I know it was meant to be one, but it wasn't. And
Now, do
it's
we
an
remember
elephant.
how long Lucas's sentence was? Because I feel like it was
What?
only for a couple of years, right?
It
5
was like
years.
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hell, we on what, year one?
Year two, I think.
We should
No.
be heading into year two.
No. Actually,
Roll
the Lumi non-wedding happened sometime in June, July 2022. So yeah, 1.5 year.
1.5. Okay. So we're hit. Yeah. I think
Corona.
somewhere around that.
You were saying, Michael?
Corona.
Yeah, definitely. It's time.
No, and that's honestly a great way to get Sammy back to Salem. Have his parole trial thingy, and she has to testify.
Oh, his hearing before the whole parole board.
And if it's a recast, Sammy, hey.
Yeah, I guess Cartier said
She didn't
no.
fuck with
No.
that. She didn't fuck with that. But
Yeah.
hey,
She said no recast.
it's either that or we got to defund Hallmark. I'm good with both options.
Well, while you contemplate that, I'm going to move us into our next news item, which is Judith Chapman seemed to spoil on her Facebook page, of all places, that she is filming
That's such an elder
that
thing. Oh, God.
she is back filming at Days, and she was filming scenes with Greg Rickard. So I assume that means Diana is making a comeback, but with this show, she could be Diana, she could be Angelica, she could be both of them. Either way, Judith Chapman will be back on our screen sometime in 2024.
Okay, and I know I was just laughing about that senior moment, but I had one when I read this on the docket today. Because I thought of the wrong Judith.
Which Judith did you think of?
Who's the boss, Judith?
Oh, Judith Light.
Yes. I would say, oh shit, we finna have a soap. But I like Judith Chapman too. Now I'm clear for this. I don't mind, I know a lot of y'all grimace at her being Diana. That's fine to me because I have never accepted Gina Francis anywhere except for Port Charles. I even watched her in that stint in Pine Valley and didn't fuck with it. I just wasn't fucking with it. I only want her in Port Charles, but that's besides the point. I could see Judith Chapman as Diana at this point. It's canon. And not only that, y'all gonna have to accept the simple fact that Morgan Fairchild was Diana when she died, and not
Angelica.
Angelica when she died, and y'all just gonna have to deal with it. I understand y'all didn't fuck with it. I did,
It was
but
fucking
y'all didn't.
terrible. That is why we didn't fuck with it.
I worship the altar of Morgan Fairchild. I'm
We know
sorry.
this.
So I fucked with it. But the point I'm trying to make is, I think she's going to be Diana, and that's going to be that. Because why would she make a point to say Greg Rickard?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that her being Diana in those scenes with Greg does not also exclude her from being Angelica in like a video form or something. You know, with this show, you never know. I'm not closing the door on any opportunities.
But my thing with that is, why would they do that if they've already exposed the fact that Xander is Victor's child?
We
And
don't
when
know
are
that
they gonna
they did.
pull that thread?
We don't know that they did. That's what I'm saying. We don't know when that's going to be made public to Salem.
Fair.
That's so they could literally, she may be back for Diana and doing whatever she's doing with Greg Rickard. They could also tap her on the shoulder and be like, hey, can you film this video as Angelica? And it's like a video will explaining everything, and that's the reveal. You never know.
Wouldn't they have to pay her more? They ain't doing that.
I mean, we literally saw Emily as Gwen while she's also Teresa, so I'm not going to say they're not going to do it when they've already done
I
it.
think that was more like a switchover deal to keep your job.
No,
This so.
she literally aired. We saw that phone conversation with Gwen and Chad in literally the same episode she also aired as Teresa. So I'm just saying it's possible.
I have thoughts on that, but I'm gonna mind my business.
What are your thoughts on this, Arlen? Are you excited to see Judith Chapman back?
I think she's back as Diana. I can see her, like I can see them bringing her back to kind of like, sorry, develop Leo more, give him more family again on the
To
show.
humanize him too.
Yes, maybe that's why maybe she's back for another reason. I don't know, but I like her. I liked her craziness back in 2018. I don't have a lot of history with the character because I haven't gotten there on my binge yet. So, but I'm excited. I liked her. I don't know if I see them bringing back Angelica, but maybe they will. But I guess then they would have to bring her back from the dead.
No, not necessarily. I figured they could just find like an old video where she confesses everything about
Faking
Alex
her death.
or like, you know.
Oh, okay. You're
Or
thinking it's
what
an old, like.
I'm thinking it's old, like, you know, because we know that because that letter was that actually from Angelica or did they just fake it?
Oh,
The
shit. I think it was
I
real.
think
I
they
don't.
forged it.
Oh, yeah, maybe they did. Honestly, I don't remember because I stopped paying attention to that storyline, but Michael might be right.
Okay,
I think
well,
they
if they for
forced it
well, if
because
they
they
it would
forged
make sense for
half of
Teresa
it.
to know the history slightly.
Yeah, they forged part of it because they changed it from Xander's name to Alex's name. I just
That
don't
was the remember.
wheel, but the letter, I think they made that from scratch. And Alex being, well, let's be real, he don't fucking know Angelica, so I really wish they would stop that narrative. But him not knowing Angelica, of course he's gonna see his mother's handwriting. He's gonna take whatever he can get because she's dead.
Yeah, they apparently retconned it when she came back as Morgan Fairchild that they had a relationship. Though it wasn't as close as she wanted, and she blamed Adrian for it.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. I just remember Morgan Fairchild.
All I
Right, we have.
remember is the mess with
Oh yeah, that was also the story that made me realize Judy Evans is a fucking boss.
No, she's been a boss for literal decades.
I wasn't around in those decades, Tony.
Fair. But we have one more piece of news before we jump into our headlines, and it is that Jamie Giddens is back as a breakdown writer. He recently went on Alan Locker's YouTube show, and they did an interview, and he announced that Days reached out a few weeks ago, and he is back on staff as a breakdown writer.
I am super happy about this because
Same.
I
I
remember
excited
being
and
sad
confused.
when he, why?
Because, quite frankly, even when he was the breakdown writer before, I never really understood what the fuck that was. So I just, clap, did my little golf clap.
Basically, a breakdown writer for you and for anybody else who may be listening to this who doesn't know is breakdown writers are basically summaries of the scenes in the episodes. And then the script writers take the breakdown writers and form the dialogue out of the summary.
Also, it's like the prompt. Yeah.
Basically,
Okay. Can
they're
I
mapping
explain
out
this
the
for the people
story
like
matter.
me? Can I explain this for the people like me?
Go
Okay.
ahead.
So it's like when you're back in high school and you used to have those creative writing tests or essay writing tests for like the ACT or whatever have you. It's the prompt that you're given. But the script writers are the test takers, so they have to elaborate on that prompt via essay or via script.
Essentially, yeah.
Okay.
Is breakdown writers soap specific?
I
Because
think so, yes.
no.
According to what I'm reading on Soap Central, primetime shows have script writers who handle the breakdowns.
I think it probably is soap specific because they have to churn out so much dialogue. Like they have to churn out so many episodes.
Specific. I think it might just be show specific.
No,
because if you don't have a long term time serial, like prime time serial, they might have to have breakdown writers.
Yeah, but they have script writers who do the breakdowns because they don't have an episode airing every single day.
Yeah, I think because soaps as a genre have 5 episodes a week, whereas prime times only have one, they have to have separate writers for breakdowns and separate writers for scripts, because if you try to do too much, it's going to be burnout.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But basically, so they, you know, like flesh out the story narrative?
Is yeah. That
okay.
So you know how like whenever Ron chooses, like, Ron shares the script teasers and it will say like Sarah and Xander enter the room, and then it kind of gives you a summary of what happens in that scene, but you don't actually see the lines.
Yeah.
That's because that's the breakdown.
Yeah.
And then the script writers take that breakdown and turn it into dialogue.
Gotcha.
So Jamie is essentially writing summaries of what happens in episodes and helps kind of move the story along to figure out what happens in each scene.
I've generally loved I think most of his breakdown, like those episodes he has been breakdown writer for.
Like, yeah, you can always tell when there's a Jamie script.
Yes. Like, for instance, just one that popped into my head right now. The one right after, like, a few weeks after The Truth About Lonnie's Parentage came out, and Abe and Lonnie sat down, and Abe told Lonnie about Rojan. That was
Jamie. That was gold. That was like, so good.
I personally love his episodes. I do. There's one story that he did suggest to the show, I think. And that was the Renee story, which I hated.
I think everybody did. And listen,
but overall, I'm super excited.
I didn't mind it at all.
You were one of the only ones who liked it. That is true.
Okay, at this point, I think I'm just a big ass Sarah fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Sarah be doing it for me. I see her as a future mother of this show. But that's just me.
I hated that storyline. Lord, I hated that storyline.
Now, did it drag? Yes. Yes, that I can give you. It started off well.
They made them old, but I'll give you that.
That damn island was a key. And y'all can't tell me it wasn't. Damn, I miss Abigail. Ugh.
Yeah, it went left for me when we left the island, but the actual island
Yeah, when
stuff,
it continued to drag, I thought she was going to hit her head on the island and it was all going to come back to her like Celine Dion. But it didn't. It shouldn't have lasted as long as it did. But at the beginning, it was hitting. Because I let not sit here and pretend like we wasn't getting on here every week hearing about how the hell we was going to get to this island and get off.
Because I remember enjoying the island stuff too, because it was very much giving Maison Blanche
vibes.
I think
I might have gave that my best story of 2022.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah, I stand that story. Okay, watch your mouth, Ariette.
No. No. We're gonna be fighting, and this, no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, overall, I'm super excited. Happy he's back. Curious to see. I mean, honestly, when is he coming back though? Like, when, or do we have a?
We don't have an air date for when his material will start airing, and it's kind of hard to tell because Jason's production schedule dates have been all out of whack. But I'm just going to say by like mid 2024, he'll be back.
Okay, that's reasonable. I'm excited. Welcome back, Jamie. You've been missed. Or
very
actually, has
so.
He been gone?
I don't even think we've gotten it. We haven't even fully gotten into the material where he's gone yet. Because when the strike happened, he still
this,
had
two. This fucking production schedule
is giving me a headache.
Yeah, fuck
yeah.
This.
Because
It's ridiculous at this point.
Before we move into the headlines, when the strike happened, he still had two scripts left to give them before he officially left. So the strike resumed. He came.
Turned
he
in
came,
his two scripts, and they was like, "Please don't leave us."
Yeah, he turned in his two scripts. He left, and then was gone for maybe like a month or two, and then came back.
They read the two scripts. It's like, oh, we got to get him back in the room. This is an asset to the company.
But I will say, too, one last thing before we move into headlines. I do like that Janet reached out and got him back on the team. I do hope that is indicative of what's to come under her tenure. Because Jamie let it be known that he and a few other writers were basically sidelined for, shall we call them nepotism hires, under Albert Allar. And so with Janet righting that wrong, so to speak, and bringing him back, hopefully she will right some wrongs on screen as well, and some of the actors that we have seen leave recently will get to make a return. That is my hope. And with that, we can jump into our headlines. First up, we've got Everett figured out Chad is the one who fired him, tells Stephanie, and Stephanie promptly moves out.
Okay. All right. I feel like it's 2012 again because I'm standing Nick Fallon.
Everett Lynch, but go on.
That's Nick Fallon. But anyways, I'm standing Nick Fallon. He did the Lord's work of getting Chad the fuck up out of him. And anybody who could do that can get a fan out of me.
So, do I tell you now that it's looking like it's only temporary?
That's fine. Long as he can put his foot on his neck again. I just want someone who can reasonably apply pressure to Chad's neck like he deserves. So if this becomes a long-running rivalry, I'm good with that.
I had a couple of issues with this myself. First of all, Stephanie, why are you going to Shade when your father exists?
Well, let's be clear. I didn't mind that because I need more family connections.
Okay,
and
fair.
I feel as if that phone call, I get where you're going with it, but I feel as if that phone conversation was a little bit of bursting that bubble because everyone has been in such a bubble. And it was before COVID, let's be honest, since about 2017, 2018. There's no family connections and extended family anymore to the point that there's plenty of Hortons, there's plenty of Bradys on our screens, but it doesn't feel that way. It feels like many subdivisions of Hortons and Brady's. And that phone call to me solidified that the Brady's are a family unit. They converse with each other. They have connections with each other. So I didn't mind that.
And on that level, I understand it. It just felt strange when your father is a literal PI in the same town as you. That you would call your uncle in another
yeah, state. Yeah, and I understand that. I really understand it. But it also helps the fact that Teresa, while not a new character, is being played by not even a new actress, but an actress who assumed another role. Same with Stephanie. It seems like she's been on for 2 years, but still, that's pretty fresh to be in a recast role of a legacy character. So they're trying to establish the groundwork that Stephanie and Teresa belong because they grew up together, they're Bradys.
And I don't know about anybody else, but
they could have done it another way. definitely done them another way, but I see what they were trying to do there. So I'm gonna give them a little grace on it. It was weird as fuck though, because they definitely could have called John or Steve.
I also wanted to throat punch Stephanie in every single one of these scenes. Listen, what Chad did was fucked up, and I don't deny that.
But let's be really clear. She put him in that predicament. Now Lord knows I hate Chad the mayor. God knows I do. But has she not been playing games with the both of them?
She's been playing games with everyone, and it's just, I've had it. And we're not done, because
she really, here's the thing, she's a tease that gives it all away at the same time. It's like, yes, I'm fucking you. Yes, I'm, co-parenting with you. But at the end of the day, I'm a tease other men. But you're going to have to trust that I'm not going to sleep with them. But I'm going to tease them right in front of your face sometimes. And Lord knows I be trying to root for Lil Sweetness. I'm the only one on this pod who be going up for Stephanie.
But listen, I loved Stephanie back in the day. This one, no. Go ahead, Michael.
She's very much a seductress. And that can be good. I'm not saying that as a slam, but you can't be a seductress and habitual line stepping with all these other men. And then going back to your partner and being like, well, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me.
For me.
Yes, but no. Like, she's line stepping. She's crossing all of these boundaries that, if not established in the very beginning of a relationship, can throw somebody into a tailspin.
And what were you going to say, Aria?
For me, sorry, the biggest... Sorry. No, it's fine. Listen, I used to love Stephanie back in the day. I was a huge Stephanie fan.
And see, I was the total opposite. It switched.
Makes sense. But, like, the issue for me right now is her being a full-blown hypocrite. Because she doesn't... She's
look
kind
at her
of,
mother before you continue.
I love her mother. This is a Kayla fan account.
Yeah, okay. I'm growing towards Kayla. It's her daddy I can't fucking stand. But Kayla can be a little hypocritical. Look how she did Kate. They was tied the fuck up together thinking they was finna die. And Kayla was like, well, joke's on you, bitch. I don't care for you. You just a woman my brother be fucking.
I love Kayla. That is my girl.
I like her a little bit more now that Dylan has explained her haircut to me.
That is mother. I love Kayla. Anyway, what I was going to say is Stephanie is coming across as a hypocrite. Because she's, I guess, rightfully mad that Chad doesn't want to commit, but like he's still somewhat grieving his wife.
That's my thing.
Then
like,
she gets
how do you get with someone who lost a partner then thinking she, you can get married off rip?
It's only been 1.5 year, but then she gets upset with him for not being comfortable like with her and Everett right now. Like, you cannot have it both ways. If you're right to get upset of him not wanting to commit, maybe that's what you want. Maybe he's not there yet. But fine, you have your feelings. That's okay. Like, she can have them. But you cannot be mad with, like, Chad for feeling a certain way with Everett. Like, it does not compute for me. Like, it makes no sense.
And given what she's going to end up doing after this, like, and Michael,
and then she goes
this.
To Alex to give him the keys because she can do it herself, for him to give them back to Chad.
Get messy,
and it's gonna get even messier when she winds up in bed with Harris next week.
They do not know this character at all, and it frustrates me because, yes, Stephanie was messy, but she was not this whiny. It's exhausting to watch.
Yes, she was, but that's debatable.
I guess, but still, I don't know.
She was, but you could root for her and understand why she was as upset as she was over whatever it was then. Now it just feels like all you do is bitch constantly. Because you're bitching at Alex for not trusting you. You're bitching at Chad for not trusting you. But you're not bitching at Everett for respect, like to respect your relationship boundaries. You're openly flirting with him every time you speak to him. And you're
And
like
then you get,
smiling and giving eyes, and it's just, I
and
don't
then she
know.
gets, for me, it's her being mad at Chad for not really wanting to commit, or maybe not mad per se, but like she did throw it in his face that Everett was gonna propose, though we think that it's his ring to like Jada, but like. She threw that in his face, so
Right,
she...
but she thinks that ring was meant for her, so she's doing a
Exactly.
like, well, you're not going to commit to me. I have a guy over here that is willing to commit to me. What are you going to do about it? Is essentially what she's doing.
Like, I do get what she's coming from. Yeah, she's living with them, living with him, helping him raise his kids. But you cannot, I don't know. It just makes no sense because she cannot be this mad when he's uncomfortable with Everett. And Everett did confess that he's after Stephanie. Unless I
Yep.
was dreaming that. No,
No,
actually there.
you no, because he said it right to Chad's face, to the point that I hope Chad was recording that conversation. Like he went there. Like I feel like Chad would 100% have gone there with like his phone in his pocket, recording that conversation, and she can play it back, so he could play it back for Stephanie, so he could be like, "See, I was right to do what I did."
Yeah, it was random, but it's there. There it is. So, yeah.
Do we have anything else to add on this story before we move on to the next one?
I've got nothing, so let's move on.
All right. Tate tells Johnny and Chanel he and Holly are dating, and Chanel apologizes to Holly. As much as I hate this Holly into Johnny thing and like Holly like wanting Johnny, I do kind of like that Tate is like giving Holly a run for her money, and Holly's not just like running roughshod over him.
It's tit for tat. That's something I do like. I'm seeing a lot of Sammy Alston, Carrie Lucas situation, like comparisons to this.
Meaning you're,
No.
what do you, okay.
No.
Meaning you think that those in the audience making the comparisons are wrong, or you
They're
see the
wrong.
show.
Yeah, they're wrong.
Okay.
And let me tell you how they're wrong.
Johnny is just as stupid, but okay.
Yeah, but Johnny at least is a decent person.
Austin was too when it started. It
Yeah.
wasn't until it wasn't until it wasn't until
The shade.
it wasn't
Sorry.
until the it wasn't until the actor switch that Austin really got.
Became a dupe. Well, it was either Gotham villain or douchebag.
Yeah, he
It
entered
was
his he entered his he entered his douchebag era with the actor switch from Patrick Muldoon to Austin Peay. But Johnny is very much channeling Patrick Muldoon's Austin in the Austin and Sammy saga, in that he's very dumb. He cannot see
I wish they would find something for Johnny to do because it would be different if he was like this playboy bachelor, but he's not even that. He a rich dude who doesn't even carry himself like he's a rich dude.
when he was this is
He
totally
carries
sp
himself like a very much lower middle class broke boy.
when he was in the leather jacket the other day rather than get another plaid shirt, I was so happy. I know that's random, but that was just like Yeah, he stuck. I mean, I think there was probably a plaid shirt on under the
Like
jacket,
he
but
very much gives Let's Split the Check vibes. But I want better for this character because there was so much promise there. So much promise for that. Also, speaking of Johnny, if and allegedly time, I heard that mother's coming home.
yeah, we're not quite sure. There was a there was a
With my
makeup re
child in tow, please. I miss my little boy.
All right, so to catch our listeners up, for anybody who may not have seen it on Twitter, Robert Scott Wilson posted a
If and
picture.
allegedly, if
Yes.
and allegedly, ding. Gotta
Robert
make a
Scott
sound, guys.
Wilson posted a picture from the makeup room, and in the corner, in the way back, there is a woman with blonde hair getting made up, and we think it was Lindsay Arnold. Some people say it's Lindsay Arnold. Some people say it's Stacey Hajduk. Some people say it's Emily O'Brien. So we're not 100% sure, but between this and Lindsay Arnold being at Ken Corday's concert last month or the month before, whenever that was, it's looking like Lindsay Arnold may be back and Ali may be coming home. And if that is true, I'm 100% here for it.
I'm gonna stay delusional and say that it's Allie slash Lindsay in that picture, but it could be anyone else, like
Okay, so while you're in a good mood,
me.
yes, while you're in a good mood, I'm going to say this. If you're bringing mother home, keep her away from Chanel. Well, I don't want this push and pull no damn more because not only is it tarnishing Allie and Johnny, it's tarnishing the fuck out of Chanel.
I just want Messy Alley back. If they're gonna bring her back to have this triangle set up again, no thank you, because they're not gonna do it evenly.
I
Keep
would like to
Johnny
see
and
Allie and Wendy.
yeah, because I'm not feeling Trippin' and Wendy, so why not? I mean,
I'm telling you,
I'm a Charlie Ship birth
Trip
for
is
life.
Salem's retirement home.
Yeah,
I'm a Charlie Shipper for life. I would love to have them back together, but this back and forth, like, it's gonna.
it's not good for any of the characters involved, so just don't do it.
But I would love to see Allie back, and like, she is the messy superior twin, and I would be here for it. Because her brother is dull as fuck. I've said it last week. I went into
Wait,
a
oh,
rant
never
last week.
mind. I was a Horton. Never mind. Oh, that's a wet feet situation.
Who did you want to put her with?
Michael?
Did he disappear?
I don't know.
Is he still here? Oh, nope, he left. Okay. So we'll never get the answer to that, but it is just you and me now, Aria. So, are you enjoying the way Tate is handling Holly?
Yeah, I can see them falling in love. This is heading towards them ending up together because they're definitely getting the fake dating trope, and I think Holly's gonna end up having feelings for
Her
Tate.
cousin.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not so thrilled about the idea because it's giving me low key ick. But the worst ick would be if Johnny gets some feelings for Holly. She's like 16 and he's like 25.
And also
Yeah.
her cousin.
Wait, Johnny and Holly are related?
Yes, via Eric and Sammy.
No, but it's not how that works, but
This is not, but it is.
anyway, I'm just saying I don't want them to go
Well,
there. This is not
we're gonna have a
1983,
long
1993, like,
discussion.
no.
We're gonna have a long discussion about how blood does not make you familial.
True, and I 100% agree with that. However, you're acting like Eric and Sammy's kids, like how Eric, like how Nicole's kids, because Nicole and Eric were together, and Sammy's kids grew up together, and that's just not how
Oh,
that happened.
yes, but also, you know that's your cousin. You can debate me all. Look, I'm not. This is one I won't budge on.
I mean, Lucas and Sammy share siblings. And
That's
they,
sure they do.
do they?
Yep.
Oh
Rex and Cassie.
yeah. I mean, even
Philip and
Steve, like.
Belle, didn't they, their parents, they were married when they got
Well,
married.
you know, she always thought they thought their grandparents were the same too. So I guess, but
But anyway, what I'm
web
saying
feet
is it's
all around.
Tayden, Holly are better than the alternative. I would not want, no, I just want
No.
don't want the show to go there.
No.
But I will say I'm over the whole Holly trying to scheme thing, 'cause
I'm over the damn fantasies and flashbacks.
oh Lord.
Oh, it's so cringy.
Yeah, now that's the only Harry and Austin and Sammy comparison I'm gonna let ride, because the fantasies and flashbacks. Please stop this. Please, I beg.
I just want them to focus more on, like I said it last week, I need actually all of them to get some individual writing. Hopefully with the strike writers they can do something. 'Cause, like I said, Johnny is dull, he's boring, he's one-dimensional. Chanel has a personality, they just need to develop her more. Holly, we don't know her that much. What's her interest? Is getting Johnny her only interest in life? That's it. At least Tate,
That and smoke and weed, that's all we know.
I will give Tate something. Like he's kind of low key, maybe not a troublemaker, but he wanted that attention, I
Well,
think.
I know nothing of Holly as a teenager, but the most important question, how come she hasn't visited her grandma Maggie?
Because maybe Maggie has too much to deal with right now for her to go over there. I don't know.
Wouldn't you
But
think that would be a pivotal point to visit your grandmother?
it would be one thing to say that Maggie's going through too much to go see Holly, but the fact that Maggie is dealing with the death of her husband, you don't think her granddaughter would want to check on her grandmother?
Thank you.
I mean, I do, but the show
Let me
doesn't.
find out some random nigga from Greece scamming my grandmama. I'm going over there
Oh,
every day.
every
Every
day,
day.
every day.
Just to see if you, what the hell going on in here?
Listen, you don't fuck with the grandparents. Like, you don't.
Yeah. Apparently, the show doesn't get that, but
Well,
anyway.
here's that again. This goes back to people are in such bubbles that basic family connections are being treated like strangership. And even the ones where they're supposed to be treated, it's weird because the people who are supposed to be strangers, they write like they're closer than ever. Because why the fuck does Rachel give a damn what happens to Kristen?
Yeah. Who Kristen has just disappeared.
White, hold on. And little Brady Christina.
She'll be back.
With her little bad ass. I'm starting to grow close to her.
Not you starting to like all the children.
It, look, people think I hate the children. It don't be the children. It be their damn parents. And
Just
honestly, truly, I didn't start hating Brady Christina until she started getting zesty with Chloe. Which bring back Chloe since we bringing everybody damn back.
but we are doing what we always do and
We're
segueing
BSing.
off the point. Yep. So, do we have anything to say on topic, or shall I just move us into the next one?
Let's move it on.
Okay, on to our last headline. The DNA test results show Nicole and the baby are not a match, leaving Nicole devastated all over again. EJ tries to fix it by suggesting they get pregnant, and that does not go over well. Dimitri tells Leo what really happens that night of the crash, and Leo goes straight to Nicole. Where do y'all want to start with this one?
The end. I'm ready for this to wrap up. And look, Tony, don't you start that name on shit. But I know for a fact that baby swap storylines don't end in a month or so. But they've done so much bullshit in the first few weeks of this that I'm exhausted from it.
And it's not ending anytime soon, so you can wish it till you can wish it till the
I
cows come home.
I know that, but I can still bitch about it. That's the whole point of this podcast. Because life's
Fair
too
point.
short not to bitch about shit.
Well, there's our title.
What? Life's too short not to bitch about shit. Okay.
Life's too short not to bitch, yeah.
But anyways,
Well, I'm
the
with
point I'm
Michael on
trying to
this
make
one.
is too much shit has happened. This shit literally kicked off with a car crash. We've
Yeah.
had a car crash. Them finding out the baby died. Us finding out Sloan and Melinda has the baby. Dimitri finding out. None of this shit was paced to a point that it was supposed to stretch for months. All of this shit that we've seen in the past few weeks should have been stretched in a few months. And I would have been good with the ending right when that DNA test happened. But now
Yeah.
you're telling me in the first few weeks we've had a DNA test, a fucking screw up on the DNA test, and now we had to wait weeks in advance, and now 70 people know about it and it's still not coming out.
Yeah, well, I've said this entire story that this storyline was hitting a lot of all my children baby swap beats for me. And that's still true, because all of those things happened on the All My Children baby swap as well.
Did it happen the first damn few weeks though,
Yes,
Tony?
they did. Because the
Yeah, they
storyline.
did. Now that I'm reaching into the cockles of my childhood.
The storyline also started with a crash.
It did.
The truth came out relatively, like, we had Bianca believing that baby was hers almost immediately after the child was born and kidnapping said child. And then relatively quickly, Babe remembered the truth and then forgot because she was so drunk. Like she, well, no, she remembered the truth and then decided to keep it a secret and then enlisted her mother's help in helping her. And if I remember correctly, that all happened within like the first few weeks of the story actually happening. And I'm sure our
So it's just
listeners
like
will.
we have to sit on this shit until May.
Probably, yeah. Now, it could have been paced a little bit shorter and could have had a different ending if the strike didn't happen. But there is no way that this storyline was not going to resolve without Ron at the helm. This storyline is Ron's baby. It is the most Ron-like thing on this show right now. Like, you can look at this storyline, and this storyline screams Ron Colavati probably louder than any other story on the show right now. There is no way he was not going to allow strike writers to resolve this story. And that, for me, is just the truth. So I'm okay with the pacing of the storyline right now. I feel like the storyline is going to stall at a certain point, and we're just going to be spinning water, and that's going to be the point that I hit a wall, but I'm not there yet.
I think what happened is I got overstimulated, so to speak, because too much shit just happened in a short span of time. And knowing
Fair.
that we're going to be dealing with this story for a few months, I would have liked the pacing to be much better if we're going to be stretching this story out.
The thing that made me hit a wall is the reasoning behind the DNA test coming out not
No, no,
much.
no, no, no. What made me just say fuck all this shit is when they said, well, we tested EJ's DNA on file. Honey, that will get you sued.
That's like,
Sued.
that's where I hit a wall, because they gave themselves an out when she used the toothbrush.
Nicole was in the damn hospital. If you don't swab that girl's cheek and go about your damn day.
Exactly. Because the minute she had the toothbrush in her hand, I said it to Aria last week, I guarantee you that's EJ's toothbrush, because why else are they using a toothbrush? She literally could have just swabbed her cheek right there at the hospital.
That shit would have fell fucking flat when the lady you're testing is in your fucking hospital. Okay, we don't have enough DNA on the toothbrush. Let me swab your cheek really quickly. You just randomly pulling EJ's without his fucking consent is not only unlawful as fuck, it's dumb as fuck.
They should have just revealed it to the audience that Nicole grabbed the wrong toothbrush in her excitement, and then therefore the toothbrush was EJ's, and that's why it wasn't a match. That would have been a hell of a lot more plausible than this. Because we all knew that DNA test wasn't gonna say it was a match. We
And
knew.
quite frankly, and to be really fucking honest, it bothered me that Kayla, as a doctor and as an aunt, wasn't smart enough. When I know Kayla is smart enough to connect these fucking dots to go, okay, I know we ran several tests thinking that EJ was the father, but could we also have it? Could also be the possibility that Eric is still the father of that baby. So could we run a DNA test on Eric just for shits and giggles?
They have no reason to do that though, because they already know
they
that
don't, but they do at the same time. No, I'm going off of your scenario that you gave, so to speak.
Which
as
one?
As in, like, the EJ toothbrush, Nicole toothbrush mix-up. And they were like, well, since we have EJ's toothbrush and there's no match, could it be a possibility that XYZ? There's plenty of ways you could have made this dramatic and soapy and still held out, but y'all didn't. Y'all picked the dumbest common denominator, to be honest.
And, like, I'm okay that they didn't reveal it this soon, because I think if they had revealed it this soon and Nicole already had her baby back, it would have been like, well, what's the fucking point? I'm okay with it being paced out a little bit longer, and Ari's doing such a good work with the material that I'm okay with Nicole having to grieve for a little bit longer. It's just that whole DNA test thing
it blew.
Drove me.
It wasn't good.
Drove me up a wall. And then EJ saying, hey, let's have a baby.
That shit pissed me off, because my God, bro, it's only been a day. People don't realize this. It's only been like 2 days since the baby has died. It's been less than 24 hours since Thanksgiving, because it was the longest fucking Thanksgiving in history.
It really was.
It lasted for 2 weeks.
No, it only lasted a week.
No, it lasted a week and a half at most. At the very least, a week and a half. Because it was December and we were still in Thanksgiving.
I was glad that Nicole put the kibosh on it. And I also am very happy that they've been saying in the script that Nicole has gone through this 3 times. Because they don't normally play those beats when a woman loses multiple children. I'm kind of glad those beats are being played. But I'm so glad that Nicole was like, no, I cannot have a child, and I don't know that I ever can, because I've been through this so many times, I can't put myself through that again.
And this shows massive character growth, because Nicole of old wouldn't have said that to EJ, that I'm not going to be able to carry your child. You're going to have to either take that or leave me.
Yeah, that was big time growth for her. All right, you've been quiet. What do you think?
I'm kind of with Michael on this one. What he said in the beginning, they rushed through so many beats. Instead of like, they're gonna drag it out, drag all of this out. Like,
I feel like they
Because
didn't
now you're
take
going
it
to be doing a bunch of other extra shit
for
to make this stretch out.
nothing. Like it feels like they rushed through so many beats and tropes just these last 2 weeks instead of dragging it out. But I will say those hospital scenes did annoy the fuck out of me because I was with y'all. I was like, Nicole is right there. Just take a cheek swab or a hair sample, like whatever. She's right there.
It didn't
It
make sense
was
that they didn't
dumb
swab her
as
cheek,
fuck.
swab her cheek to begin with. Her using the toothbrush was dumb as fuck, which is why I was so sure that was EJ's toothbrush.
Yeah, I just I'm kind of over this whole storyline.
And then Nicole, not Nicole, Dylan even pointed out in our group message, there's at-home DNA tests now. They could have did this shit at the house with one simple cheek swab.
I just want Sloan exposed already.
Yeah, from the
And
looks of it, you're gonna have a long way to wait for that.
Lord. And the name, okay. Jude Roman.
It's
It grew
not my
on me. I
favorite.
had to hear it. I didn't like it when I first read it, but I had to hear it. I like it.
Yeah, it's kind of same. It's also
Exposing the middle name in front of Roman made me misty eyed, so I had to.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad.
I will say though, there's one moment in that scene that I kind of want to shout out as a positive thing. There was a line that Roman had where he's like looking at the baby and he's like, it reminds me of Eric. And he specifically, instead of saying as a baby, he said as a newborn. And I want to shout out the writers for getting that right because,
That felt also like that was just strike writers.
yeah, but I want to shout them out for getting that right because, like, Roman only knew Eric as a newborn because it was, I think, less than a month after the twins were born that he went off the cliff. So, thank you for that little touch of historical accuracy because a lot of times with Roman, they don't always do that and they try to play like Roman's always been there and been there for things that he actually wasn't. So, when they
Well,
actually
see,
get the history,
they have to do that because they sore ass the kids.
but I was
So true.
happy with that little touch.
Yeah, I got nothing else for this story.
Well, I do want to transition over to Dimitri telling Leo and then Leo making a beeline right for Nicole. What do you think Leo's going to do with this? What do you think Leo's going to get out of this? Because we know he uses this information to blackmail Sloane, but what is he going to get out of Sloane?
Not much. Sloane's gonna get out of it some way, somehow. Sloane is this generation's Kristen now.
Sloane, the thing is with Sloane, I know she's gonna get fired.
Fired
Because
from what?
isn't this like super unethical for her? Because she's kind of she's blackmailing her client.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, she could be disbarred for that. Well,
But
she's not, she, well, technically her client is blackmailing her. She's not blackmailing her client.
well, is she not?
this is all still disbarrable shit, bro.
No, it is, but she's technically the one being blackmailed because Dimitri was like, get Leo out of jail or I'm gonna spill. And Leo is gonna be like, do XYZ or I'm gonna spill.
True. But I don't know. Feels like she could get fired either way.
Oh yeah, it's definitely like I
Or
especially
Cinder.
since there it's she forged legal documents to she forged an adoption. That's 100% not only criminal but disbarable. So you're definitely right about that, but I kind of like that Leo knows, and I kind of like that Leo knows, and I think Arya, you might have said this in the group message.
Yes, that... I am. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Say what you were going to say.
I am super happy they weren't, Leo and Dimitri aren't on the other side of this, and that they were in on it, but rather they were shocked to hear that she is raising Jude as his own, as her own, and yeah. Faking the death.
I like the fact that they're conflicted with this whole thing.
Yeah, I like the fact that they found out about it and are debating using it to their advantage, but you can still see their humanity because there is like a little child involved.
Yeah. So I'm relieved because I expected the worst with the show, y'all know. So on that end, I'm super relieved that they're not in on this in the way I expected them to be. And I hope they blackmail the fuck out of Sloan because she has it coming and I'm not even invested in the story.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see Sloan squirm for the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that baby hates her and that brings me joy. That baby hates her, and spoilers indicate that she is going to end up leaving that baby alone.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if Nicole's gonna like take the baby.
I can see that coming.
But does anybody else have anything to add for this headline before we segue into another news?
Justice for Nicole, because they playing her like she crazy as shit.
Oh yeah, when she went off, because I think Brady, like I think at, what did EJ call her, like unhinged or something?
Yes,
or irrational. And she went off.
Dr. Laura Horton's influence.
But anyway, in other news, we've got
I got to talk on that now. She did pull the ultimate lore. Bitch, you want to appease me? You did this shit to shut me the fuck up. I ain't crazy. Oh. I love this for me. This is a full circle moment. I have a type.
We know. In other news, we have Stefan wants Clyde dead. Ava and Harris go on their first date. Wendy comes home from Lee's funeral. Wraith asks Jada to move in with him, and we learn Everett was her husband.
Okay, can I do two before I have to go?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to do the Haber. Is that where we're going with Haber?
I don't even think they have a ship name because nobody gives a fuck.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Hava since I'm the one who might give a damn. So, I'm going to do the Hava's first date and the Wendy comes home from Lee's film. I have multiple thoughts. I don't mind Salem Jarley. I don't mind them. They were kind of cute. She playing the fuck out of them, but they was kind of cute.
I don't think she's
the only reason the only reason I didn't finish Wednesday is one, I was mad as fuck that they didn't give Lee a fume that we could see, or at least have Mr. Shin or anybody for the fume. It was just a really disrespectful thing considering he was a character that's been on in our face for like a year and a half. Actually, multiple, if we're including his guest stints. And not only that, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Trip Johnson is Sailor's retirement home. They send you there when they want your character to die. or is on his last leg and they don't know what to do with you for the moment. I need them to do something with that. Because it's no reason the son of Steve Johnson, and this is coming from somebody who hates Steve Johnson, is not getting the proper love interests or love stories or storylines. It's ridiculous. They have to do something about it. But as for Salem, Jarley, Haver, whatever you want to call it, I fucks with it. I really do. But I'm no idiot. This is a motherfucking stunt cast if I ever seen it. This is a stunt storyline. Stop making it feel that way and make it authentic, and people might actually warm up to the idea of Salem Charlie.
All right. What is your In Other News pick?
Oh, damn. I guess Stefan wants Clyde dead.
And I don't mind it.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Please,
please, listen. I don't care who I have to bribe. I don't care what I have to do to get him dead.
And this is a lot coming from me because everyone know I used to give Clyde a lot of grace for being a villain. But when you kill my Abigail, catch fire, you bitch.
But also, can we talk about it, like the one part of that I really did enjoy was like Stefan bringing up Yvonne.
Yeah, I fucked it up.
I like that.
I just overall enjoyed Stefan the last week. It was giving more of like menacing Stefan. It felt like more in character. And I'm here for him trying to kill Clyde. Bring it on, because that dude should not still be alive. And he should not be able to outsmart everyone. Like, come on.
But that's what been their that thing.
The one called him Hellbilly Orpheus.
I have never seen it for him. Never will see it for him. He needs to die.
Yeah, I agree.
My other news pick is Wraith asks Jada to move in, and we learn that Everett was her husband, which we knew, but the way they revealed it was kind of cool. But it's
I didn't fuck with that photo. That photo was ugly as hell.
Well, yeah, because it's a terrible Photoshop job. But
that's what it was. They had the actors, bro. Why did they have the Photoshop?
Because they were younger. Because this was during Jada's Beat Cop era, and they're trying to make Everett look younger than he is now. So they had to Photoshop the fuck out of it so it could say they were younger. That's why.
That shit look poopery.
But I will say, they were very deliberate whenever Jada was talking about her husband, not to name him. Now, I don't know if that's because they wanted to save the moment to reveal that it was Everett, or if she knows him as another name. But like at this point, the entire time she was talking about her husband, it was very deliberate, the choice not to use his name. And I'm wondering why they're being that deliberate.
All these people with DID in Salem, except for Kimberly Brady.
Well, she had DID 30 years ago.
The point I'm trying to make is we should have a DID specialist in Salem, and it should be Kimberly Brady. Just saying.
Okay, fair. But I didn't mind hearing more about Jada's backstory. It should not have taken this long to get it. But I'm actually.
I need to see more Jada and Stephanie relations.
We're getting more of those next week.
To build up the tea of they dealing with the same man or dealt with the same man, so to speak.
So that is my In Other News pick. Michael, before you go, do you have a read of the week for us?
No, not at all.
All right, then I'm going to ask you directly, do you have a praise or a shade?
I have a praise. And this praise is for one of our most loyalist, is that a word? Loyalist, yes. Listener. And that is Annie. Annie hopped on them damn comments and said, well, when I gave my last read, it was for the people who wasn't retweeting and commenting this pod. Andy hopped in the comments and said, well, hell, you shouldn't be talking to me because I'd retweet and comment the fuck out this podcast. And that she does. She gets the girls talking. She gets the girls moving. And that's why I fucks with Annie. Even though our political beliefs, a.k.a. that fucking Chad the Mara, do not align. And yes. That is why, but she has supported us from day one, and that is why I will always give her her motherfucking flowers. Thank you, Annie, and that is my praise.
All right. Are you praising or shading Arya?
I'm praising, shockingly. Listen, I've dragged this show for like 2 years at this point. But yeah, I'm gonna praise the strike writers, because y'all have me semi enjoying the script. Not the stories, but the script, the overall vibe. I'm sensing more, like I feel more with the characters. I see it sprinkled in. They're giving characters more humanity. They're not strictly one-dimensional. I need them to keep it up and like keep up the good work, because it feels a bit different. I'm not saying they're doing miracle work, but they're doing some work, and it's clicking for me. So keep it up.
All right, and I am going to hop on the praise train, and I am going to continue praising.
Praise across the board.
And I'm going to continue praising Dan Fuergel and Ari Zucker, because they are doing such good work in this story. They are so compelling in their scenes together that they are carrying this story for me. And I am invested because of the amazing work that they're doing. So they get my praise. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
I'm going to say it again. Retweet and comment the fuck out of this pod. Leave reviews on whatever platform you're listening to this on. We want to hear your voices. We want to grow. We want to hear your things, because it's not just our pod. It's your pod too. If you do this and you give us our things and give us things to work on, oh, honey. The things we're going to do in 2024, we're going to have a motherfucking time. So come on, give us your reviews. Talk to us. Don't lie to us.
Yes.
And that's my final thought.
And I am going to piggyback that and say things in 2024 are going to be beyond anything you could imagine.
Oh, Tony. Oh, I'm gagging. That was a good one.
Aria, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I'm with y'all. Leave reviews, comment, respond. I don't respond back constantly.
We're not going to be mean to you. We've been grown since we started.
But we do read your responses back, and it's super interesting to hear. Like last week, I'm going to give a shout out to Annie, because I did ask you last week about, what was it, Johnny?
Yeah, it was Johnny.
And she responded. So, like, I like having this sort of conversation where we ask y'all and you respond back. Please do it more often.
Yeah, we're going to do better about that, too. We're going to hold ourselves accountable. We're going to respond to you guys. We're going to keep the conversation motherfucking going.
Yes. So, respond to us and we respond back, and we will give you a shout out. It's so much fun. I love reading the responses.
It's fun.
Also, no more recaps until 2024, folks.
This is our final recap of the year.
The dishes, though, is going to be absolutely hellacious. So be prepared. Have your drinks ready, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be so messy. We're releasing it as two episodes.
We couldn't fit it into one episode, you guys. We had to break it down for y'all. So we're coasting y'all all the way into 2024. It's going to be fun. All and right. Hosted by me.
As is the tradition. And on that note, we'll see y'all next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, Hussies. Talk to us in the comments.